Welcome everyone to our regular town council meeting. It's Wednesday, March 18th at 6:31 p.m. We're at Watsu Papa Valley Drive and also on Zoom tonight. We'll start with a quick roll call and then move into open public comment.
So here we have Jasmine Duncan, Pamela Gibson, Bob O'Brien, Tori Hill, Dorje Honer, Colleen Thompson, and Mike Carlisle. And the NPR guy that I forgot his name already.
David Congo.
Hi.
Okay. And on Zoom, we have Egmont owner.
Thank you. So we'll go ahead with any open public comment. Hearing none, we'll move on to item two, approval of the minutes from our regular town council meeting of February 18th, 2026.
I move that we approve those minutes as presented.
Second.
I'd like to also say, Jocelyn, it's been so long since I have had any edits. You've done fantastic.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
It's all aging. She finds that.
Okay, well, you're both doing a great job.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item three, our executive reports. So John is at a meeting, a different meeting right now. So Obi, did you have anything you'd like to report?
You know, I wish I had.
We have minutes in here too.
Yeah. Okay. So only to say that finally I have gotten this thing about trying to extend some protections to the two watersheds. As far as it's on a document that's going to go in front of the Planning Commission, only to say that in the planning general plan for Grand County, we want to develop protections for the two watersheds. So that will, I hope, pass. And then if that passes, then the question will be, well, okay, then we have to formulate some protection for those two watersheds. But as I said to John, it was step one. And he said, what was the vote? And I said it was 4-2. He said, who could possibly be against that? And I explained to him.
Thank you.
Well, what?
Who voted against? Who voted against what?
I won't say who voted against, but I will say this. One is a very strong private property advocate who basically said, whatever you do basically infringes on the rights of private property and people can't do what they want with their land. That was one. The other person really didn't know how to vote, kind of said, I'm not sure, I didn't read things carefully enough, and then finally came down on the negative side. And part of that is my responsibility because I got this hooked up with the watershed protection overlay of the county, and it is complex. And it allows for the county commission to make not arbitrary decisions, but their own judgment on things. So I think what I'm going to do is basically this. No, indeed, you can't have an underground fuel storage tank. No, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, but not things that give a lot of discretion. They'll be harder to fight against. And right now, you could use processed water thing where they use to get gas out of, and there's all kinds of things you can do up there that you don't want to oil process. So those are the things I'll try to get through that you can't do.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Road department report. Questions for Dorje? Anything you wanted to bring up that wasn't in your report?
Not really anything that was at least partially mentioned in the report. Just kind of working on things. The culvert's kind of on the downhill side. It's pretty much installed. We're towards the finishing up end.
We did get an extension on that project, and they did grant through June 20th, which we're nowhere near going to use that. The contractor asked for 2 extra weeks, and NRCS said you just ask for 2 months, uncomfortable if they ask for, because that's more standard. And then if something big does happen, we're not going back and asking again.
That's pretty good.
I have one question.
Yep.
The Castle Creek Diversion Dam, that's what you're referring to, that low place?
Uh-huh.
That is on BLM land that flooded, that came over and flooded and went down the Schaefer?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay,
not,
that's what.
Just for clarification, it's not necessarily a low place. It's just a section where the creek has filled up and it's gotten broad. And I want to say almost 20 years ago or so now, there was a berm built along there. And that berm failed during one of the bigger floods. And that's what's been sending stuff crashing. Like that.
So it's going to be more of a dam build?
Not necessarily, but I think that might have been what it was classified as for or something like that.
Okay.
Essentially, it's a berm that's keeping the water in the main creek bed.
Okay.
But it happened when Scylla owned the land still.
Right.
And then it didn't go through a correct stream alteration permit when it got put in.
Right.
So it's been kind of a messy.
A mess.
Deal.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yes, in many ways. Other questions? Any questions about the Planning and Land Use Commission meeting? Oh, wait, first panel. Last question.
Yeah, several pages.
Oh, yeah. Where are the lots that there's that convoluted resolution to not have platted lots included in the WUI and
the green belt lots?
Yes.
Yeah, but there's some lots, and I've looked on the map and I couldn't find lots 368 to 373. Where are those lots?
They're in the green belt.
They're the green belt.
They're owned by the town and.
Merrill has one. I think one is owned now by the
Red
Summit Ranches, and then there's either two or three that are on.
They're undeveloped lots that essentially, if they were developed, would need some major protection.
And the lot lines essentially go directly over to the creek bed. It's so, not like it just intersects the creek or something. These are the ones that cover creek bed.
Okay.
I can show them to you on the map in there, but it may be difficult to show you.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I just wasn't sure. I looked and looked, and there's no number on there on the website. That's all I looked on. But so, is that included? Those lots would be included
in the WUI.
In the WUI.
Yeah.
Okay. They wouldn't be. They're not exempt.
Right.
Okay. Right. They need protection.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
And you're up. Any news on the renewable energy?
There's very good news. The Public Service Commission on March 4th issued an order approving the utility agreement with modifications. But the bottom line is that we have, since by state statute, we have to approve an ordinance if we want to continue on in this. Every participating community has to pass an ordinance, which I said to you when you pass it on to legal counsel.
I have not heard that from her.
Okay, well, that's fine. It probably will be modified just a little bit because of the modification.
Right, right.
I have no idea. The lawyers are working on that. But we should probably put this on our agenda. I think the more we talk about it, the better, because I'm sure most people out here don't know anything about the Utah renewable communities and what that means. But bottom line, what it means to us on the bottom line is that at least for the first couple of years, to cover the expenses of running this program, because we don't have power coming in yet from things that haven't been built yet. So you got to pay for all that. Plus you have to pay for Rocky Mountain Power has got to be able to have someone, they don't have administrative costs. So it's going to cost $4 per month more than what we're paying now. That's everybody. And I know that's a little regressive, but that was the easiest way of doing it. And of that $4, $3.88 will be credited back to people who qualify under the low-income plans that are out there for, I think it's called LIHEAP. Thank you. Anyway, that and we will have to be able to get out there and let people know about this. We've already contacted part of the low-income committee. We'll be contacting people like United Way and other community, other agencies that service low-income clients to let that information go out there so they know about the bill credit and their ability to opt out should they so decide. And also because this program is an opt-out program. You're already, everybody in this community that gets Rocky Mountain Power Service will be included automatically unless they decide to opt out. They'll be getting notices, which we're going to be paying for, Rocky Mountain Power, to let them know that they have the option of opting out. They'll get two billing cycles in which they can opt out. I think it really stretches out a lot longer than over two billing cycles. It's going to be more like four or five, though, where people can opt out of the program. Anybody can opt out. But after that, after about 6 months, it's going to be a $45 opt-out fee. Except if it's low income, there's no opt-out fee. So those are the main things. We'll be having a lot more information. I'm going to be attending an info kind of meeting with the rest of the UCR people and URC people. I always get messed up in the acronyms. March 26th, so we'll have a little bit more, better idea of what we want to get out there and how to do it and get it all planned out. And so, yeah.
Right, because we'll probably want to send things out by email too, and not just at our meeting, because we're going to, obviously there's not like a lot of attention to meetings.
So after this workshop, are they going to get some public service type information and send it out to municipalities that I could send out? Are they going to things that I can use to promote this?
Yeah, we have. Pillar Powers has been working with their communications people and also with the low-income plan. There will be posters. We'll be going around to various, and we'll be working with Grand County and Moab, the people there. We'll be working with them to get the word out. But it is more wanting to get the word out to, we don't want people to opt out. We'd rather people stay in this, because if you get too many people opting out, then the program collapses. But I'm hoping that it's not too burdensome and people become very happy about the fact that they're going to get 100% net renewable energy in 4 years. That's how fast it's going to happen. And it'll be growing every year. It's going to get a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger as it comes online.
So one more question. This is the ordinance. Is there a deadline for us to?
Yes.
June 1st?
June 2nd, the ordinance must be passed.
So it would need to be on May meeting.
Yes.
Yes. May. Yes. So that's the reason why I thought, maybe we talk about it, keep talking about it. And at least by May, it needs to be on the agenda. I don't know if you want it on the agenda before that, but
well, the ordinance will need to be on it for, by the May meeting.
Yes. Yeah. So April, I don't know what, if I can continue just giving my reports, then we'll do whatever I know to do by that.
Public hearings are discretionary.
Right. Is this something that we would want to have a public hearing on?
I mean, land use and any money, finance, budgeting, they have to have a
public hearing. I don't think this would require one.
This is discretionary if the council wants to have a public hearing on it. So.
Well, I think all the work that we've already put into it, are we, like, going for it anyway? If, especially if people can opt out. So,
yeah,
you put out a people in there. And there's, you know, community.
We talk about this every month for the
last. Yeah. So I don't think my ears will carry.
Yep.
My will.
I'm going to have.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. More to come soon.
More to come.
Thank you.
Oh, and I also wanted to let, just to say for everybody, this is a really cost-effective way for everyone to get 100% renewable energy. It's Blue Sky has it's really good. I'm glad they've had it, but it's limited because you have to buy so many tranches, and it's at least 5 times more expensive than what this program will be. I think they charge like $1.75, and ours are going to be about 12 cents. So it's a big difference.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I hold stock in some renewable energy company though, so I'm probably going to have to recuse myself from the vote.
Was it the company you're in? Was that?
It's one that might be potentially gaining from projects that Rocky Mountain Power needs to build to make this happen. So,
Rocky Mountain Power is not building these.
Yeah, somebody's already participating in Blue Sky. I think I am. What happens with that?
That, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know.
Because we're here in the town.
Yes, we are. I don't know. I guess you can get out of one and into another. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'll ask.
That was a good question. Because I think I know other people that do, but we're trying to.
And Pamela, this is residential and commercial, right?
Yes. The commercial is a slightly different thing. They have a set rate that the commission has approved. I don't remember those numbers, but for residential customers, it's $4 more a month is what half of the cost. Commercial is slightly different. I can't tell you what they have and how that's different. So.
Well, that's less expensive than the Blue Sky, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a definite?
What's the level for low income? Do you know?
I don't. It's based on the federal, it's LIHEAP and HEAT. They're based on what
the 80%
federal, yeah, it's a percentage of poverty rate. So it's like 150% of whatever the poverty rate is. And you do have to sign up for those things. And that's the reason why we're doing that outreach, to make sure that people that can benefit from that, are able to benefit from it.
Thank you. Drake is not here tonight, so we have plenty of other things on the agenda. You like looking at the fire district. Pauline, did you have any information technology report? Correspondence, we did have a letter from Frontier and one from Utah League of Cities and Towns. I think it's probably about what time for our dues. Is that what
they sent this little synopsis of what they've been up to when our dues are due.
We have not enough information about the Frontier claim yet to tell you more than that. Nobody's exactly sure what was damaged.
There was a line going across, was that it?
It was.
Those are their lines.
But
I don't think they broke any.
They broke one.
Yeah.
But it didn't appear to affect anybody, so they figure it was.
Well, apparently it was damaged and their. They gave us a notice of claim.
Whether it affected anyone or not.
I've been asking around up there and everybody's phone is still working.
Those were our correspondents. Let's see, do we have any town letters that we need to talk about? We are going to have the spring cleanup on the 11th of April. For what did you decide, 9 to noon?
9 to noon.
9 to noon. We have two planning commission seats coming open. Mm-hmm. Also, Faylene is retiring again. Her position is open. We have an open groundskeeper position. And what's going on with the server?
Calling.
as part of a security report Jocelyn was working on for the state, we discovered that the server hadn't been backing itself up. So one of us contacted Mike, and he checked into it remotely, and the server hadn't been backing up for weeks or months, and there was some glitch in there that he fixed. But he said, it's a 2011 computer that really we should really start making plans to update. But as one of the options, he suggested an NAS, which is a network attached storage. It's just a hard drive that sits on the network. Doesn't take a whole separate computer to run it, like the server. So I'm hoping we can get an estimate eventually from Mike for the server version versus the NAS version, because our needs are fairly lightweight compared to other places.
Sure. Okay.
But it's good. He's cleaned it up a bunch. It's going to be good until after July. So.
Or until it breaks.
Okay.
Yeah, so
how would we know it wasn't backing up? Or can we check that more often ourselves?
I don't know how to check it. I could learn how. Mike checks it remotely. He's got remote access.
How often? Up for months, not for months.
I don't think he does it on a regular schedule.
No, he doesn't do anything unless we ask him.
Oh, okay.
But we have Carbonite that backs up everything off site.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So it's not like, I monitor that because I get.
Right.
Yeah.
This was the local backup that wasn't happening. And I could probably learn how to check that.
And then I have just one other thing in administrative. I wanted to thank Tom Harrington for fixing the notice board up by the mailbox.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Pretty stiff up there now.
Great. We'll move into new business. Item 6, discussion of possible action regarding the MOU with the Fire District.
Have a good night.
To comply with the Forestry Fire State Land Cooperative Agreement. So this is just kind of a preliminary, in the packet you would have the MOU as it exists, my notes on what I thought needed to happen, and the cooperative agreement. Did anyone have a chance to look at that and see if there were things that I was missing? It's all pretty...
I thought your suggestions were good.
Would tie up what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm giving them a chance to do the same and then
the fire district.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to their meeting and with those notes and then followed up with that email so they could have something in front of them to look at. So if you didn't have anything else to add to that, we'll leave it in their hands and then we'll get a draft and get that together. So we're almost there with this whole thing. So we can just let that drop for right now. We don't have any additions. And item 7, discussion of possible action regarding the Planning and Land Use Commission WUI map. This was their motion. And that was let me get to it so that I'm not misquoting. Yeah, it's fine. So it was to have all properties within the town boundary that are not within the Castle Valley River Ranch's platted lots, with the exception of lots 368 through 372, will be designated a wildland urban interface zone. So that means that any of the lots, so like if the our range and grazing 15 was to be sold and subdivided, those would be subject to Louis code. And then if anyone decides to try to develop those lots 368 through 372 in the green belt, they would be subject to the building code. So some of the purpose, you know, behind that, obviously these are currently undeveloped lots. They're also, like, I think the big purpose behind this wildland urban interface code is obviously to reduce the chances of major cost, right? So with our 5 acre minimum lot sizes, we're not compact. We don't have house up against house. We don't have it's not subdivisions where everybody's right next to each other. And when you catch on fire, everybody catches on fire. So we're in a good situation in that regard, because the chances of somebody's house causing another house to catch on fire are pretty low. So subjecting, in my opinion, subjecting lot owners, even within the, you know, the platted lots that aren't developed, to such really strenuous building code, it seems over the top when they're really not posing a threat to their neighbor by not having built to this code. And it's kind of like, I don't know, well, it's up to you. If
you have half a town that has already built, so they're not going to be subjected to the new code.
No.
So
subjecting it to a few people, it just seems like, it doesn't seem like a fair thing to do. Of course, that is open to discussion.
Yeah. My only issue is that I had maybe it's just my brain doesn't work kind of like this. I had a hard time figuring out this. It was all these negatives and it exempting some way. It just was a little confusing the way it was worded, but if I understand it right now, all of the platted areas in the undeveloped subdivision that isn't yet, that would be the only thing, and those few lots
in the green belt.
That's on the green belt. That's all that would be in the loop. Okay.
That's it.
So if the lots down past Castle Valley Drive down towards Jorgens, if there was a change in our subdivision ordinance, those lots could be, but if they were subdivided,
any of this was subdivided, I think, in my mind, this gets revisited if that happens. Yes. If the state mandates that our minimum lot sizes are wrong to them and we can no longer have them,
then we
revisit this and apply the WUI across the board.
Yeah.
Because at that point, your density is great enough that you need it.
Right. Yeah.
Because then you are going to see those potential faster spreads.
That makes perfect sense, yeah.
But at this point, without that actually, you know, having happened, it doesn't make sense to impose that. But.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Well, for our water and our fire.
I mean, there was one bill this year that failed that would have practically pretty much
but before
any lot size.
Before it
failed,
they exempted towns with resource limitations like ours and towns under a certain size.
Well, that was the second draft, too.
Yeah,
the first one didn't exempt anybody.
Right, yeah.
Sorry. But every year is like
something.
Every year is the same thing.
It'll come up again.
Indeed. Well, we've already seen the potential for public land being sold come up, which is one reason. You know, we have to look at those lands as potentially being subdivided.
There was an interesting, I guess somewhere in Colorado, they passed a land use thing in a county, and it basically said any federal lands that get unfederalized, if you will, I don't know how they phrased it, become private property. The zoning that will be put on it is one house per 15 acres. And it's looking at what if this happened? What would it be zoned as? And basically they were
saying, so they wrote an ordinance for
that? They have an ordinance that says any land that's transferred from the federal government, and I can't remember all the wording to it, will have this one unit per 15 acres. And then you could read, if you get rezoned by the county or whatever, whoever's zoning it is. But it was interesting to see it kind of a preventative measure. Pitkin County, I believe.
Already kind of does the same thing with the, you know, with having the that zone as range of grazing 15, which is almost the same exact thing.
That's right. We grant that the county doesn't. And I will think about that for the county day.
You should have.
One thing at a time.
Yeah. You got some big ones to work on right now, for sure. So this wooing map is the other part of the compliance with this whole state fire thing.
It's the last part, right?
The last part, yeah.
We had the cooperative agreement. We have the code, adopting the code, and then this half, right?
Yeah, so we have to adopt it. We have to adopt the map. It doesn't have to be this exact recommendation from the Planning Commission, but we do have to adopt a map.
Is that what you're asking us to do tonight?
I'm not sure if we have more process involved in this.
I'm not sure either.
We're trying to figure out, because this is definitely a land use.
Yeah.
Like, this needs to go through a public hearing.
I think so.
So I don't think we can adopt it yet. Mm-hmm. I think we just have to agree on what we put out to the public.
Right.
And then put out a public hearing notice. That's the way I see it.
And maybe clarify that those lots as being green belt owned by the town, make it more clear.
There's others that aren't.
Yeah. We'll make it, clarify it more.
We're going to have a public hearing on it.
Well, yeah. We'll have to put out information and make it clear that.
Yeah.
Dorothy has a question.
No, just a comment. I don't see any reason why we couldn't change up the language a little bit. We were just trying to cover the base of a defined boundary rather than trying to draw a map and saying, oh, it's close to this theory or whatever, by saying it's these properties, then there's survey data for it somewhere that will find it.
Yeah.
So as long as that definition holds, I don't think there's any issue with that.
Well, the public hearing, is that with the Planning Commission, or is the Planning Commission then?
Well, this was their job was kind of to give us a recommendation on what we should include. But I think we have to all agree on that before we put it out. And then, can it go back to them for a public hearing, or can it just go through a public hearing with the council?
I don't know.
So we'll figure that out.
I gotta figure this out, and I took a stab at it, but nobody seemed to know what I was talking about. This is partially forced when I take a stab at things. Everybody has to agree to this map, but people can't tell us whether it's an official land use.
Well, it is. It's part of our land
So it needs an ordinance. It needs a public hearing.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah.
Question is,
So we'll figure that out.
Okay.
And it'll either be us or them.
Okay.
But this will come back before us, too. So I guess what we need to do really is just either agree or tweak this before that goes to public hearing.
It makes sense for where we're at with our 5 acres. And, yeah.
It can always be updated, right?
Yeah, we can go through the process again if we find that we didn't think it out well enough, or I don't know.
But it would require a public hearing.
Again, yeah. That's okay. I mean,
yeah.
Just money, right?
Well, is a woolly map an ordinance?
It's part of the ordinance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part of our land use map.
Yeah.
And I think we can go to our own 85-3 and see what's required for changes to land use, to our land use code and now.
Maybe we just put this in 85-3
I think that's where it has to
85-3, not a freestanding thing, but it within it.
Right, I think that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'd be basically amending 85-3 to include the blue zone on the map. And then would we also need to update the building permit
and the
ordinance to include the zones that apply to the buoy? Yeah. I think we
will. Well, the building code requirements for if you're in the buoy zone, then
what 95-6.
95-6.
So both of them.
I always want to call that 96-5.
Let's do it at the same time.
Same time, same language.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To be determined.
Okay. So do we want a motion on that, or do we need a motion on that to send off to, just that we accept this recommendation?
They can do a motion to accept this draft of this map. It's still kind of a draft. It's not final yet. So it really, it sixes. It's not a final thing to approve.
Okay, so we won't have to get too formal.
Just coming back again.
We'll be back. We won't table it yet, though. We'll just put a new item on that.
Yes.
Okay. Great. We'll move on to item 8, discussion and possible action regarding lot 404 well setback exemption request.
Oops.
Yeah. So I think some of this is part of the town's problem. I don't think anyone's checking setbacks on these things, on wells. I mean, we check setbacks on everything else, and I don't think these are even being checked.
No, Danny pasted it off.
They pasted it, like John just says, oh, okay, that sounds good. And then Danny goes, pastes it off, and flucks it on down.
Not very hard to get a tape.
Well, the truck.
And you got to stretch it out and everything.
And you know,
The trouble is, the road easement is so complicated for people, especially because half our roads aren't where they belong. So I measure all the setbacks for everything except wells and septic tanks, because those are outside my wheelhouse, kind of. And I was actually kind of surprised to find out how casual it's been dealt with. I went up and helped Danny measure all that. And they had a survey and everything, but the corners weren't marked. So we're like, huh? And so it's not too far off, but actually we need to think about changing the wording on setbacks in 85-3, because the purpose for setbacks for wells and septic tanks is for a different purpose from structures. It's for health reasons.
Yeah.
And John agreed and said, yeah, according to him, this was what they ended up with, which was the only place he could hit water
conveniently and not in a reasonable amount of expense and time without having to drill all over again and having no guarantee of hitting anything. And also the distance between...
Is this up here? Yeah.
It's up on...
And in this particular situation, the drill site was already more than 100 feet from the neighboring septic. So that's great. And that meets, like, the spirit of the code, right?
Exactly.
That doesn't always happen. And, you know, what if it was... What if this was a lot where the neighboring lot wasn't developed yet? Then you just, like, pretty much limited what that other lot could do.
Well, if the other lot's well going.
Within that range, you know.
Well, there's that too. If the other, your neighbor has to redrill a new
or
one.
Do a new septic. I've had to do a new septic near the each line.
Yeah. I mean, those things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with this particular situation. I just think it didn't go right. I think we need to have better policy with our, especially now that we're transitioning and John is training a new water agent. I think we have to have these policies in place so that when start cards are given, these things are actually being measured. As long as it's in the ordinance, it's the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
You know, just because we think we want to change the ordinance someday, but we haven't yet. That doesn't count. Because what happens when the neighbor comes by and says, like, well, I wanted to put my well close to the road and you said no.
Well, with Sarah coming in, that helps a lot. Because you can get her trained with a more formalized.
We just don't have a formalized. We don't have a formal policy for that agent to handle these situations, apparently.
Yeah, if you did it formally, would you say you can't start drilling until some person comes out and checks the distance of spot and drilling?
You're going to observe the setbacks, and you're going to have a more formal, like, thing happen there.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what I think should happen, and I wasn't even aware that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Neither
but I do think in this, well, I do think in this instance makes sense to do this exception. But yeah, I think it should be.
Yeah, 300.
Normally we shouldn't do. We should
300
sure
feet. Pretty deep to say. Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
300 feet deep and hit water, but you don't always hit water in this area.
Right.
That sounds reasonable to let it do it.
So, yeah, I think so. I just don't like the way those things happen.
Yeah.
So who would that fall under the water agent's purview then to go out and
there issue a start card? Yeah.
Yeah. Before you issue the start card?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
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 I think so.
You might have to let her use your handy dandy.
My little wheel.
Your little wheel.
Well, when Danny explained why he put it where he did, because my understanding has always been from talking to him before that it's always kind of approximate and sometimes he has to tweak things. Same with septics. Tweak things a little one way or the other depending on conditions on the ground. But in this case, he said, is because there was already a flat spot where he could park the drill truck. And he paced it off from the road, and I'm like, because I thought John and Danny between them were coordinating on that a little better.
But I've seen water user agreements come in with the deed and a plot plan, just a pretty casual one, not related to any survey. So there is some kind of plot line with that agreement.
Well, yeah, but someone's just drawing the thing. And this goes back to why, like, we made a policy for building permits when it was that close to the setback, but it requires a survey. This, if, you know, if we don't think that really is, like, requires a survey, or do we? And that should be part of the policy.
That wasn't what I meant. I just meant the distance for well setbacks from the road. Could be less than it is for structures because of the width of the easement and the it works out to where you could say 25 instead of 50 or something.
Right. I mean,
we would still have our distances. Thing.
Well, you could say 50, measure it, and if it is 50, then you don't need the survey. I mean, you know, because
we do that
the survey is, I tried for 6 months to get a survey, and nobody would call me back.
Yeah, no,
so how do you get a survey if nobody's calling you back?
And then in a situation where this wouldn't have made a difference. Right. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, and the cost, I mean.
But I also think that if we really think that this section of the ordinance is asking too much, it makes sense to change it sooner than later than to keep going through these situations.
Hmm.
And then we're putting our water rights agent in a weird position. And John never should have been making these on the spur of the moment decisions on his own either. That wasn't like his, that's not his job. He's a contractor of town and doesn't have authority to make an exception to the ordinance. So I don't want to put him in that position again either.
Well, I move that we approve the setback exemption for lot 404.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Well, item 9, discussion and possible action on our Capitol Creek Culvert DWP payment to Bay Brothers. Our first bill is in
$300,632.30. I think that's the biggest bill we've paid.
And we only have $544,027 to go. I didn't know. So
not to go. Bad for
parts of it.
For parts of it. How much do we get?
Do we figure those out yet?
This whole thing is us.
This one's us.
Yeah. But a lot of the whatever up to the five whatever you just said to go, a lot of that is the EWC because it's protection, rip ramp, moving, filling in, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I thought parts of the of this were supposed to be as well.
Well, they approved. It came from Jones and DeMille. They approved it, and they didn't divide it up.
Okay.
So what do I call them and say,
check.
Yo?
Yeah, I definitely would because I was under the impression that part of it was
so that's what I figured this part was. I was kind of waiting for another
well,
part.
Well, yeah, follow up.
But
follow up and see if any of this part was EWP.
Yeah.
I move that we approve the payment for Buell Brothers.
Second. But I'd sure like to vote against paying money.
You just don't know. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I thought you were going to say no.
You just
said my favorite. I don't like spending that much money.
Nobody does. So that means we have it.
It is a really good thing we do.
Yeah.
And half of this bill is the actual culvert.
Right. That's like 162,000 part of that. And that is on us, that part. Yeah. Okay. Discussion number 10 about property tax increase. So there were some changes. Jocelyn's getting information on any new, you know, truth and taxation rules for this year. We do not have to have our numbers to them by the 31st of March, so we thought we should probably start discussing this after what happened last year. I kind of wanted to look at our sales tax and how that's going before we decide on an amount or amounts that we would even ask for. And it looks like we're pretty in line, even a little bit ahead right now for the sales tax projection for this year. Which is useful. I mean, we are going to have, we've got some things coming up. We've got to do something about chip sealing Capitol Valley Drive, and that's going to take us a good chunk of time. to get together enough capital for that project after this lab project. That's really our main thing.
I really think we need to stick, if not raise more or get more, because one thing like this, look at that, our how many years of savings for capital funds is gone.
Well, yeah, it takes time. You can't
expect
a community of 350 people to do giant projects every other year. It's not realistic.
Or even 5 years.
Or even every 5 years. It's just, you know, and
well,
that we have to do this when Castle Valley Drive is also of maintenance. The other things that are coming up are
the server situation. Two of the computers in the office are Windows 10, and I have a year extension, so they'll need to be replaced. We're kind of scrimping on training the water agent till July 1st, so we have a new 6 months left to get her up to speed till John retires. And what else do we have going on? Oh, IT. I think we should have something in the budget to pay for the IT work that Colleen's doing. Right now, we're just lumping it into her building agent style. So
much of it is state mandated.
Yeah.
That's really the only stuff I count.
Right. It is stuff we have to do that Dogma just can't really do herself. Yeah, you can't do everything.
Well, we went over and over how much we needed, and I don't think we should change that. I think we should stick with what we tried last year, and let's see how it goes. It's not that much more for people, and that's where I'm at.
And now it's been 11 or 12 years since the last tax increase for us.
Well, we'll figure out what the actual process is this year, and
I thought it was interesting that they were saying that a lot of the new laws for the taxation were because of the problems that so many of us had.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that in itself tells you
there were a lot of other bills submitted too that didn't necessarily pass.
Right.
Some of those were to limit the amount we didn't even ask for.
Right.
Which would have left us with like no more than 5% increase.
Well, we better do this now then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll get us one way or the other.
Yeah. But I do think we need to be very clear about what we're asking for.
Yeah.
And road capital is really, really our big deal. That's what we do is water and roads out here. The reason the town is here. If we can't supply those services, then we don't need to be asking for money.
Right.
Because we're not just here to sit around and answer phones and like do stuff on the computer. It's really to take care of the infrastructure and protect our water.
But all this equipment is needed to be able to do that stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So we don't need a motion on this?
No, we just wanted to discuss it, see where we're at with the sales tax, and have you heard any projections on that or
on the sales tax? Town's really busy right now. That doesn't really mean much for us. For our sales tax,
like we talked about, I think we get a lot of money online, and that's
well, I know, but that's what you're doing.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how busy town is for how much sales tax we get,
right,
as our little town. Because there's very few businesses out here that tax.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But it is quite a chunk every month. And it's doubled since I've been around.
Right. But that's what people are buying when we're buying cars or when we're buying stuff online and all of that. You just really need to make sure that you put in Castle Valley and your extra four digits on your zip code. Then we get our sales tax. Because if it says Moab with 84532, we're not getting the sales tax.
It's going to Moab.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that. Because a lot of places don't recognize Castle Valley as a place.
And it
right.
And defaults to Moab.
And it always defaults to Moab.
Yeah.
Now, it's different with your cars, your bigger purchases, because they're
you're doing it Castle Valley. You're registering it in Castle Valley. And so that is, you know.
But if your online purchases, you really need to make sure.
Yeah, I think I did that on all my Amazon stuff, but the extra port.
Yeah,
and what extra port?
Yeah, but you have to use a fake
port. I can't remember.
9616.
9616.
For Amazon, it's not our real four digits of code, but for some reason the real one isn't recognized in Amazon's system.
Huh.
9616.
Okay.
But this might be worth including in the next email that goes around because how much money are we missing out on because people don't know that the four digit zip code can direct sales tax money to us instead of Moab.
Yeah. Yeah, what would you have?
Good idea. Okay. 9616 is
the next. We'll be back with that.
And then people are going to be putting 9616 and all of a sudden they're going to say,
Okay, we do not have any unfinished business. Yes, we do. But I'm not sure what payment of the bills is unfinished business. And what I meant was we don't have a closed meeting. So we'll move on to payment of the bills.
And then we pay the bills.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That's all we got tonight.
Nice.
Thanks.
That's so nice. My head is slipping.
What the hell?